Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Don and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got a bunch of calls. Let's get to them. 713-780-3776 is the number. Who was it first, Del? Joe is first.
Joe's
what up,
first,
Joe?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
I've been working on the road, hadn't been able to catch you all the time, so you might have already touched on this, but could you give me like an update, kind of a where are they now from last year? Last year at this time, you had C2, who had a subscription service, start leaking all their information, basically tell you that nobody scored as slow as CJ has ever done anything in the league, and probably everything that could have gone wrong last year did. What's happened with them this year?
It's not C2. What is the name?
S2.
It's S2, yeah. S2's still out there. Teams got really upset that they were talking too much publicly. But the leak didn't come from them. I actually have a pretty good idea of where the leak came from, because I think that's where I found out the scores from. But the leak did not come from them, but teams were very upset that the information was getting out. They were very upset that they were doing public stuff, and so you're not hearing about them because they want to make sure you don't hear about them. They want to make sure they're not talked about. They're still collecting data. They're still taking, they're still collecting tests. I think that, you now have, as they continue to collect more and more data on quarterbacks, it's been pretty, just because you score well doesn't mean you're going to be a good quarterback, but in the past, everyone who scored low had never become a competent quarterback, and C.J. Stroud is the first one to break that mold, which also leads some teams to believe that CJ might be a guy who thinks it's foolish. I'm not sure he's the kind of guy that would say, this is dumb. This has nothing to do with football. And there are some teams who think that he didn't even really try with the three tests, that he just got through it real quick and just moved on because he didn't think it had anything to do with football. So if that were the case, then it would be, because we know this, what the test scores look like and what CJ's play look like do not have any. There's nothing predictive about the score with C.J. Stroud. Well, is he an outlier? He may be an outlier. And S2, I've talked to the guys who created S2 and off the air. We had them on the air. We had Brandon on the air and talked to him. And I think what they do is incredible. I think it's a very valuable resource. And it's used by fighter pilots, baseball teams, football teams. But it got too big a story with the one thing with C.J. Stroud. And now you look back at it and you say, man, that score wasn't predictive of anything having to do with C.J. Stroud. And as they always told you, this is just one little piece. Never did they intend for any of this to be, for people to say this decides whether or not a guy can play quarterback. They never wanted it to be like that. I think it was blown out. I think the stuff was blown out of proportion last year. But they're still in business. They're still out there, and they're still working with NFL teams.
All right, let's get Brian in here. Hey, Brian.
What's going on, guys? And y'all were talking about marriages and who should be divorced. Lance, you mentioned that Montez was the one that you would be divorced. I beg to differ, though, because, my God, Abreu is the one that you needed to divorce. And you can't divorce him, but what if you were like a polygamist and like – you had multiple wives, and you just moved Abreu to, like, the pool house and allowed another one to sleep in the bed. Because that's what they need to do. Abreu's got to go to the pool house because he's the one you need to divorce.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting way of just benching Abreu, is to saying that you're a polygamist and he goes to the pool house is an interesting way of saying the Astros need to bench Abreu. I don't know that they have to be polygamists and he has to go to a pool house so much as just separate from them. You're just getting
a
separation.
Well, you were putting the analogies of the first
marriage. Yeah, but can't you just get a separation from them? Do you want to keep them in your pool house? I guess you're going to have to because you can't get away from that contract.
You got so much invested in it. So that's going to be awfully difficult. I don't know polygamy so much. I mean, if the first one's not, can you see, like, I don't know. I don't know how they do it, if you want to know the truth. I don't just see American women being all that happy. Unless it's a religious thing, I just don't see them all being all that happy sharing a husband. I just don't. I just feel like that's a bad option. I think cutting ties with the first one and then marrying the second one is a much better option than, multiple wives.
I've met some of you and seen some of you. The fact that one woman decides to live with you and says, this is the guy I want, you guys think you got the riz to get the second one to do it too? No chance. And then then you got to make both of them happy where they're sharing time. They're sharing your time, and they're going to be happy with that? You guys think you're that charismatic?
No.
Nah.
My wife would argue that, she's not all that happy in a second marriage. It might have worked out for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, there's two sides to every story, isn't there? And it depends on the perspective. Let's get Gilbert in here, see if he's ever been married. Gilbert, you've never been married, have you, Gilbert?
What's that?
You've never been married, have you?
No, and I've never been married before. No, I haven't.
Would you want to be married or not? Just say no.
No, I don't want to be married.
I knew it.
Why not?
No, I don't want to get married anyway,
What were you saying? You said too much what?
Didn't want to get married, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Don't dig any further
don't
with
push
it.
Them.
Yeah, I got you.
Why are you digging in deep on this?
You see?
I'm already asking this year anyway. They ain't gonna put in so good.
Nope, 4-8 now, and the Astros lose yesterday. They took a lead, lost in extra innings in the 10th. The bad news, though, is that
– Which side is tonight?
Well, hold on. Let me finish this real quick. Framber Valdez went to the IL for 15 days with an arm issue. So this is pretty terrible. If you're keeping track of arm issues for Astros, we're up to 5, but – two of them were already known, but let's just say 3. Justin Verlander, Jose Urquidy, and now Framber Valdez. Not looking great, Gilbert. Are they going to win tonight or lose tonight? Well, John Spencer Arrighetti, which rhymes with spaghetti, is pitching for the Astros tonight. He came up from the minor leagues. I'll let you call it, John. Are they going to win tonight or lose tonight?
They're going to win tonight. What are you, crazy? We got the Italian on the mound. I mean, it's kind of a funny Italian. What his first name?
Spencer, yeah.
Who's the catcher again?
Caratini.
Yeah, Caratini. Are we going to – is that
– all Italian battery?
Is that where we're going to see the Italian battery?
What a great nickname.
As long as we can get Yiner in at first base or DHing, I'm fine with it, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I don't want to lose that Latin connection we have, okay? So, yeah, Caratini. An Arrighetti to Caratini combination?
It doesn't sound like winning baseball, historically.
Historically, one of the greatest teams of all time.
I don't know that you can find a winning combination of Italian to Italian.
Back in the 50s, maybe.
Well, if we're... Nah.
Yogi Berra? Are you kidding?
Italians in the
50s. Who pitched to him? Don Drysdale's not Italian. Sandy Koufax. Oh, no.
Dodgers.
I'm going Dodgers. Yankees... Yankees in the
50s. I'm just
talking
about the great Italians who were part of baseball in the 50s. They had a run, the Italians.
Plenty of Italians.
Who? Start naming some.
DiMaggio.
Okay.
Yeah. DiMaggio.
Mostly Yankees.
Yeah. Well, yeah. North. The New York, yeah.
Manto. Mickey Amanto.
Mickey Amanto.
Ted Kluszewskio.
No, that's Polish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I put the O on the
yeah. There's not a bunch of great Italian baseball players.
Oh, yes, there are. Oh, okay.
Robinson.
You don't
want to
go
here,
do you?
Robinson.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Willie Stargella.
Hey, look at me. A Deva Pacara.
Franco Harris.
No, we're talking about baseball players. Give me all your great Italian. Red Shanadista.
Oh, Mike Piazza. How's that? Any
good? My God, that's not from the 50s?
Tony Lazzari. Ron Santo, Phil Rizzuto, Joe DiMaggio, Carl Furillo, Rocky Calavito.
He Googled it.
Phil Rizzuto.
John Franco, Mike Piazza.
No,
Rick
we said in the fifth. Okay, how many of these are catchers?
Rocky Calavito.
How many of these are catchers?
Rocky Calavito, Carl Furillo.
My point is the pitcher to catcher battery is not a successful battery.
John Franco.
A reliever. You don't. There's not. If you've got an Italian pitcher to an Italian catcher, you got a losing combination historically in baseball. Name the best one.
Then the best Yogi Berra, one of the greatest catchers of all time.
And who was pitching to him?
Oh, you hear Al Bianchi? How's that? Is that any good?
I guess I don't know.
Yeah. No. Ricky Vitalico. Yeah.
I don't
Ralph Branca. Ralph Branca.
We got great Italians now. Bo Bichette. JT Realmuto. They're everywhere. Yeah. Joey Votto, one of our favorites.
I didn't say Italians can't play baseball. I said that the Italian battery of pitcher to catcher is typically not a big one, but maybe the Astros can do something
about
that.
Another Italian, Justin Verlander.
Is he? Well,
Verlander to Caratini.
John's not going to count him.
Why not?
He's not going to count. Because that's like, Dell, do you count Isaiah Hartenstein on your team?
Oh, if you guys don't know this. The Isaiah Hartenstein is black because his dad is black. People don't notice because he doesn't. Well, it's caused a big fury.
You've seen it. It's caused quite a kerfuffle on Twitter.
It's the Mike McDaniel syndrome. Yes. Yeah.
Although black people seem to be okay with Mike McDaniel.
He's cool.
Yeah,
he's
Isaiah Hartenstein. There's a lot of arguments going on because of the last name.
But we've seen a picture. His dad is black.
He calls himself bright skin, but the argument, like, we're not doing this one drop of blood thing anymore. He's only one quarter.
Black.
I'm just telling you what Black Twitter said. He's half. He's biracial.
Okay.
So he can't call himself black. He has to call himself biracial. Yvonne307662 said.
Okay. Of course, a scholar who you're quoting. But I get it.
He passes as white. Verlander does not pass as Italian.
He is an Italian man.
John's never mentioned him.
Wait a minute. Verlander's his mama is Italian?
I don't know if it's mama, but he's listed as Italian, along with Joe Musgrove as well.
Because they're trying to claim him, Dell. They're trying to claim him. You guys are trying to claim the Italians.
I don't have him on my Italian list here, Dell.
Sorry, Dell.
I do.
All the Italians.
John's got a list of the Italians.
I've got him, among others, a guy named David Fletcher. Which doesn't sound Italian, but he's Italian, too.
He's Italian, too?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'll claim Verlander.
You're not going to claim these guys.
Oh,
listen to their names. They end in consonants.
Italian.
Consonant.
Dave Righetti to Joe Girardi. Is that good enough for you?
Ooh.
Is that a combination?
Yeah, that was as good as you get.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of great ones.
No, there's not a lot of great ones.
Yeah. We got a lot of great Italian combinations.
We had a great Italian here playing who was a catcher but shifted to second base.
Biggio.
Yeah.
Curt Schilling. Who pitched to him that was so great? Schilling.
The Curt Schilling pitched to Biggio.
Joe Sambito.
Yeah.
How's that?
To Alan Ashaby. That was his catcher.
And Craig Biggio.
No. Sambito, I don't know that he ever threw to. He may have been gone by the time Biggio
was
there.
He threw one out, the opening pitch.
Yeah, hey, Gilbert, are you still there?
Oh, Gilbert, what's up? Put the phone down.
He's on.
Hey, Gilbert, are you still there?
No.
You know what?
That was a good Gilbert call.
No, but we were able to grind him out so he couldn't ask for the picture. That's good stuff.
Let's break it here. 713-780-3776 is the number. I got to talk a little Chastang Ford. That's my people over there. I don't know that Chastang. I don't know. Joe looks like he could be. Yeah, it could. Patrick could be. We don't know. You don't know. It doesn't matter to me, though.
Could be what, John? Could be what?
I'm Italian. I'm in the family. I'm in the Chastango family, okay? That's what I know. The Chastangs have been doing this for a long, long time. And the Chastangs, the family has been passed down. The
The business has been passed down from generation to generation to generation, and you don't do that unless you do a great job. And they're bigger and they're better than ever. They're the number one commercial Ford dealership in the city of Houston. How awesome is that? That is just spectacular. That tells you something about them, people. It tells you that you're going to get a great deal. Businesses only do businesses are heartless. They don't care about it. What they want the best deal. They want the car. They want the service. They want the quality of the Ford. They want the service that's second to none, and they want the best price for it. So that's Chastang Ford. Now, why don't you do that with your – now, there is some emotion to it, okay? The Chastangs are going to work their tails off to make sure that you get your best deal. They're going to work their tails off to make sure that you're not choking on the payments. Then one of the first things that they'll ask you is, where do your payments have to be? And that's what they get them there, okay? And they're not going to add on just to jack up the price. They don't believe in that. They just don't. While other dealerships, that's all they care about. Make sure that you get them in here, close, and make sure you get as much as you possibly can. That ain't the way they do business at Chastang Ford. Never have, never will. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's only 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That was a terrible Gilbert call. Well, you guys just stepped all over him. We couldn't even talk to Gilbert. All right. Let's see if you agree with this. Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker loved the Texans trade. And you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, Lance. Is it as good since they gave him more money and since they cut out the years? I mean, it is a second rounder that it can only turn into a fifth.
Were you worried, though, John?
He's picked up.
Were you worried about him as a personality in the locker room?
Yes.
Doesn't this insulate you then?
It does. It actually, yeah. Here's what I think could absolutely happen is that he finds out that he likes it here.
Yeah.
He finds out that he wants to play with CJ. He likes the wide receiver room. Or maybe Nico is going to leave and there's a spot open that's going to still be here for. I mean, he's a little bit older now. I don't know if you can call him a number one for four more years.
Who, Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs.
No, probably not.
Probably not. So is it a decent move? Yeah. But here's Ross Tucker, his thoughts on the trade since they took away those last 3 years.
You know, I don't like the trade for Stephon Diggs as much for the Houston Texans after this contract adjustment. First of all, you trade a second-round pick for only 1 year of Diggs services. You can't get a comp pick because you shorten the contract. Oh, and you give him a $3.5 million raise for that same 1 year that you didn't even have to do. They say they're doing it because they want him to be supremely motivated, I believe, to perform very well. What about the opposite? What if Nico Collins is getting the ball a lot? What if they're giving the ball to Tank Dell a lot? I feel like this could really go either way with Stephon Diggs in Houston. And a second-round pick for 1 year, it's a little bit much.
It's a lot. I mean, look, I thought the same thing when they restructured the contract for him so that he could become a free agent, and you found out that's what he wanted to do. That was part of the terms of it, but I think the Texans also, I think it actually benefits them. Listen, it is an all-in, go-for-it move now. Are the Texans ready for that? I don't know, but I do know that there have been cracks in the Chiefs' armor, for sure. The Buffalo Bills now are not going to be as good a team. The Bengals still have to prove that they can be a sustainable team and can win at a high level. They rarely start off really good. They have very slow starts typically. Chargers need to finally show something. The Jets, we'll see. We've heard about the hype of the Jets. John, this move gives you a chance to compete immediately for an AFC championship. I really believe that, but what it also does, it gives you a chance to sit back after the year's over, assess Nico, Stephon, assess the entire setup with Stephon, Nico, and Tank, and then make a decision from there.
Yeah. AI has the Texans playing the Lions in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and AI is, we know it's infallible.
It is infallible. If we run the program over and over and over again, it's what we get. So that's sorry, but that's just the fact of it. Listen, they're going for it. I don't mind it. I know it's a second. It wasn't their second rounder. I know that they gave up, their first round pick this year to get that, but they're going for it. Stephon Diggs for a year, and you don't know if it's going to be more or not. You know what? You don't know that whether or not he's going to say, I like it and I want to re-sign here. Whatever the case may be, he could be a great citizen. I don't know why the $3.5 million that they threw at him. I know he's going to be happier, but in game eight, if he gets two targets, that $3.5 million is not going to matter. It's not going to matter.
No, he's going to start doing the affirmations. $3.5 million more. They gave me $3.5 million more. It'll wipe away all the angst when he's not been targeted for two quarters, John.
No, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Pretty sure he's just going to forget that and said, I deserve that anyway. So throw me the ball.
He goes, that was my money anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just giving me my money. Shut up, Texans, and throw me the ball. I don't know. I hope he's going to be. I don't know. Did you guys see how big a deal everybody was making? Because Josh Allen told him after the first game, when they lost that first game to the Jets, how Josh Allen in the locker room told Stephon Diggs, hey, it's just one flipping game. It's one game.
Because he was, he was losing his mind there. I think sometimes we just shouldn't hear about or see about stuff that goes on.
But why is that such a big deal?
It's Josh was getting tired of him, that he was wearing on Josh Allen. And I don't know. I mean, things happen in locker rooms. Things happen in sports that we shouldn't, that we used to not be hypersensitive to it. And sometimes there's things that matter and that are important, and there's other times that we just have to. Now, I think in this particular instance, I think the problem with that one, John, is trying to minimize it. Is there was a pattern of behavior with Stephon Diggs versus Josh Allen, and I think it just goes to show, it just adds context to how that relationship was just kind of at a point where maybe it was just not going to be a good relationship with the two. I wonder, I think it's great that C.J. Stroud is already getting work in with Stephon Diggs and the other wide receivers. I think that's fantastic. I'm excited. And I do wonder, there is something to be said about maybe Stephon Diggs will, he got upset in Minnesota where Kirk Cousins was. And he had Josh Allen, got upset there. Maybe he's going to get upset in Houston as well because he doesn't get the targets he wants. But I think there's plenty of targets and balls to go around. If winning is his top priority, which it has to be now that he knows he's going to be a free agent. I think his targets are probably his top priority based on history. I mean, we've seen this for 9 years. But you have a good chance to win. You have a good chance to perform at a high level. You have a good chance to have it all headed into this season. If winning is secondary to him, to his targets, then, could be an issue. But having three guys with that talent and then throwing Dalton Schultz in the mix, it makes Houston extraordinarily hard to game plan for.
I know we will speculate, and if we put these questions to the Texans, they'll talk, they'll push it aside, they'll give us, we want them extremely, extremely motivated. But the fact that they understand the volatility of Stephon Diggs, or at least the perceived volatility of Stephon Diggs so much that they're like, we got him for 3 years plus, but we just want to make it one because we're not sure. We don't want to be tied to this particular player for long if we don't need to. That's a thing where if you win, you got great culture. If you don't, then all of a sudden your culture's terrible. But it is interesting that they are fully aware, and they're bringing him in knowing that, hey, this could blow up. And I guess if they think they're that close, they make the move. But when they changed the contract, it spoke to me saying, all right, we know at any point this could fall apart, but we think we got a real shot.
Yeah, that's what it is. And by the way, he's on board with it too. He and Adisa Bakari, his agent, wanted it like that because they get to the market. Instead of being stuck with their old contract, they get some new money with a new contract. The timing, he's at 30 years old, or is it 30 or 31? I think he's 30 right now. if he were to stay on that contract the whole time, he may really decline and not have the contract. Like, they want to be able to get to a market right now that's robust for running backs. And so the Texans said, we'll do it. In general, it would not have been a great deal for the Texans. Where they are right now, where they found themselves so quickly, I don't think it's bad, because you get to just sniff around on, you know, kick the tires a little bit on Stephon Diggs. And if it doesn't work out, then so be it. Then he's gone. And, you know, the rental, it would have been an expensive rental. But this is when you kind of go for it more than the two first rounders for a tackle. Go for it when you're still your roster. The Bill O'Brien move to me was never a go for it move. He said it was go for it. The fans bought him with go for it. That was not a go for it move for a left tackle. You're actually, believe it or not, you're actually closer now from a talent standpoint. This is kind of a go for it move, and it's going to hurt if he leaves after 1 year. It won't be great, but at the same time, you know, they took a shot, and I give the Texans credit for taking a shot.
What were the, that was like 16, 19, 18 that was left on the deal? Is he going to get more than that in the open market?
I'll look at Stephon Diggs' contract.
How much is a 31-year-old Stephon Diggs going to get? Considering
more than he would when he's 33?
Yeah, no, but is he going, like, let's say he has a good year on par with the, on par with when you're sharing targets with the likes of Tank. We know the weapons. Is he going to get 3 years, like 50 plus million from a team, considering all the things around him at 30 plus years old?
His old contract, John, was, I gotta see. I don't have the old numbers. They've already wiped it away.
But it came out to be about the last 3 years of his deal beyond the one in 2024. It came out to be like $50+ million around there. So he gave that up to get back to
17 or 18.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Average salary is $24 million. 4 years, 24. It was 4 year, 200. Yeah, it was a 4 year, 296,000. $96 million. So it's a 4 year, $96 million deal. Signing bonus is $21.5 million. The average salary was $24 million a year.
The average, but what was left on the deal was not that. There were 3 years left at 17, 18. He got the bulk of it because of the signing bonus up front. There were, if I remember correctly, it was like 16, 17, and 19.
Yeah, it was around there.
Was it? Because
yes.
Their cash,
yeah, it was.
Because their cash AAV is $29 million this year.
No, I remember doing it, talking about this on the Mopey and Mapes show, about how much he would potentially get compared to the deal if he stayed with it instead of wiping it out. Yeah, it was in that seven. It was around $50+ million over 3 years, which was remaining. So is he going to get that?
$22.5 million. The Texans signed a 1 year $22.5 million.
They upped the guarantee of $3.5 million. He was going to make about $18 million whatever this year, and they gave him
including a $20 million signing bonus. They did some work here because the cap hit is $5.8 million. So they put some work in here. And then next, you know, the dead money next year, you're right, John, would have been $16 million. Cap hit.
Yeah. So that's what we're saying. So anyway, is he going to get that on the open market? And I'm not sure. I don't know that it was best for him to actually do this. We'll see, though. Of course, they could cut him at any time after that deal.
Oh, it's always best to do this. You get more money. He got more money up front. He got cash up front.
32-year-old wide receiver, which we...
Doesn't matter. Take a 2-year deal at...
For what?
2-year at 40... $42 million.
How much did Mike Evans? $44 million.
Mike Evans got a pretty good deal.
Not yet.
He's yelling.
They're trying to
come on in.
No.
Siri, come in.
No, do not come in. Do
Alexa,
not come in.
Come in.
You know what?
Oh, my Siri started.
Here's the deal: is I'm sure that a lot of you stay in hotel. I'm in a hotel room, and they were knocking to clean my room. Sorry. Wait. Listen, I'm sure a lot of you would. Did you probably dip in your hotel room and you leave that spit cup? You're gross, okay? And people who have to clean up after you think you're gross. I've seen guys, they're sitting at the bar and all the tobacco is on the floor that they were putting in. They're putting in their dip and then they're spitting into a bottle or a cup with a napkin in it. It's gross. It's gross. And oh, by the way, it's dangerous. So stop. Artisan Grange, Canstead and Dublend, okay? They are cleaner
It's not. It's better all the way around. It's got CBD oil in it, so that you know you're swallowing, you're not spitting all over the place. It's the same sensation. You got the same flavor that you like. If you like the evergreen or the mint or citrus or tobacco flavor, they got that. Whatever it is that you like, you got it. But not the grossness and not the danger. Okay, CBD American Shaman likes it so much they're carrying it in select stores. You like it so much you've been ordering it. Order some more. Let's go. 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell here with you. I had there was a listener here, Robert, who was, he's a Buffalo fan. And he bought me a couple of Modelos. I didn't think that was funny at all. So I gave them back to him. Yeah, I came back and he ended up drinking Coors Lights with us, which was great.
Where?
We were here at the bar before the game. Here at the stadium.
You pre-gamed?
Oh, I pre-gamed all week. What are you talking
about? Did you post-game?
How do you think you get to where you need to be if you don't pre-game?
Dell and I can hear the pre- and post-game in your voice today.
Yeah, well, my voice is fine. Thank
your
you.
Throat is
and
just...
And he tried to call me a liar when I pointed it out what's going
yeah,
on
no,
off
you're
the
a
air.
Liar.
And then he
oh,
brought it on
man.
The air. He was like, that's a lie.
He has no mute button.
Right. No.
And we can hear it.
No, you just, it's ridiculous.
Your throat is beating the brakes off you.
You're getting the brakes beat off you, John. You're like everybody.
I'm good, actually.
Your throat is Connecticut, and you're every other team in the tournament.
By the way, can I tell you what one of the dumbest things that I keep hearing is DJ Burns is going to be a tackle. NFL teams are checking out.
Talk to your boy Peter Schrager. He's the one who brought that
to
the table.
I know, he did. Jim Nagy said that. DJ Burns, number one, needs to get a whole lot stronger in his upper body. His body type is not built for offensive tackle play. I know he's a dancing bear with the feet and all that stuff, and he's big. But, man, there's a level of toughness that you have to have. You know who is a starting tackle and a good one who didn't play college basketball and didn't play college football? The left tackle for, God dang it, for Philadelphia. The starting left tackle.
Lane Johnson? No, he's the right tackle.
Eagles who played, guess what he played? Rugby. And I'll bring up the name here in a second. It's, not Andre Dillard. Jordan Mailata, that's right. Jordan Mailata took over for Andre Dillard, a legitimate left tackle in college football. He played American football, was not tough. By the way, Bill O'Brien had him nailed. OB told me he didn't think he was tough enough. And wouldn't draft him. And I remember the fans were really upset that the Texans didn't end up with Andre Dillard. They're really upset. Andre Dillard was a bust. Bill O'Brien got that right. While Titus Howard, to me, has been very average, Andre Dillard has been a legitimate bust. And Jordan Mailata played rugby and was a freaky athlete. There's another guy now who played rugby who has also played in British Columbia, Canada, by the name of Giovanni Manu. He's 6'7", 353 pounds.
How do you feel about that one, John?
He's Giovanni Manu.
He's got a now first name you
he's
love.
He's Tongan. He's Tongan, though. Just keep that in mind.
I'm fine with it. If you want to appropriate, okay, that's fine.
The Cowboys brought him in. Multiple teams have brought him in for a top 30 visit. He's 6'7", 353 pounds. He's built of, I don't want to say solid muscle, but he's very well put together. 33-inch vertical leap. The foot quickness is pretty average, but he's played football in Canada, but he's going to be a guy that might actually get drafted.
Wait a minute. Who cares what he can leap at if he's a tackle?
Well, explosive hips. It shows your ability to unlock your hips and drive. Can you bend your hips, and can you unlock your hips and drive? Like, explosive jumps typically tell you how strong they are to push a sled and stuff like that. It just measures hip strength and hip explosiveness, and it's actually very predictive of somebody being able to drive block.
All right. Well, getting back to I don't know. You took this on.
You were asking about who some of the top rugby athletes.
No one asked that.
No one did that. Actually, we were going to talk. We mentioned the basketball, and did you guys see the numbers, the final numbers on the women's college game and the men's college game?
Let me predict. Now, the women's college game was on ABC. The men's college game was on TBS. I'm going to predict the women's game for the first time in history beat the men's game.
The men's game wasn't on CBS as well?
Nope.
It was just CBS.
The women's game was on ESPN.
And ABC.
I saw it on ABC.
The ESPN broadcast had Taurasi and Bird. ABC had the regular broadcast.
ABC did not have... no, it wasn't on CBS either. I watched it on...
I said
TNT.
ABC.
TNT.
Yeah.
No, the men's.
Yes.
The men's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Men's was on TNT. But it also started at 8:20 here.
Yeah, 8:20 Central, right.
Yeah.
And the women's
9:20 East Coast.
It started, where did the women start?
I think it started at 2 on
2
a
o'clock.
Sunday.
Oh, afternoon, yeah. Okay. What the numbers come in at?
Almost 19 million for the women and 14 something for the men.
Wow. The women went from 12.5 million against LSU to 14 million against UConn to 19 million against South Carolina.
Yeah, 18.9, 18 something.
Holy crap, those are monster numbers.
They are monster numbers, but the question was, this is what you get for starting your game so late. This is what you get for not having Caitlin Clark on the court.
Right.
That's what you get it for. That's what you get. If Caitlin, the Saturday game against LSU was the late game, right? Was it Friday? Friday game.
Well, John, why don't you talk about the fact also that you know this, TNT, I already knew they weren't going to beat the women's because the women's, anytime you're on broadcast television, it's going to be higher than cable television. It's always been the case. And they were on ESPN and ABC, well, at least the Taurasi feed. They were not on standard ESPN. But the Taurasi and Sue Bird ESPN2 feed did feature the game. And then ABC, that's going to be higher than TNT. It still sings true that standard television rates higher than cable television. It's just the truth.
It still does. It's easier to find, all of that stuff. But the Taurasi crew, how about Taurasi and one of her other cohorts, the Connecticut women, think that Paige Beckers would be drafted first.
Said that on the broadcast. Sue Bird, who was on the broadcast, asked her Beckers or Clark.
Yeah.
And Taurasi said Beckers.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. But only because of the PR. Maybe Paige Beckers would be a better pick. I don't know. We'll find that out.
Speaking of the PR, Taurasi's own team is marketing the matchup between her and Clark already on their socials. It was like the goat or something like that versus the rook. It's a silhouette of Clark. Of course, she isn't in an Indiana Fever uniform yet. Hell, she's not even on the team yet. But they're already marketing it and selling tickets for it. So the league knows who's the draw. And Taurasi helped because she talked about her in a certain way that a rivalry, a quote-unquote rivalry, has already begun.
I don't know that we're fully absorbing this. The women's national championship game crushed the men's national championship game. Whatever you want to say, the time frame, what channels they're on, this is inconceivable, except for the fact that we know the Caitlin Clark appeal. And for people who try to downplay that, that's just hater stuff. There's really nothing that you, other than the fact that you just don't like her, you don't want her to succeed, there's no way. Don Staley said it. The way she uplifted the women's game, are we fully talking enough about the fact that the women's national championship game not only beat the men's, which has got to be the first, it's easily the first time in history. There's no way this has ever happened. But I mean crushed them. And according to Nielsen, at their peak in the national championship game, peak viewership was 24.1 million for the final minutes of the game between 5 and 5:14 p.m. Eastern. The women's championship game audience stands as the largest in women's college basketball history and is the most watched basketball game at any level since 2019.
You had it.
Do you understand what that means?
Yeah, like, superstar.
The men got their asses kicked in ratings by women's college basketball, and specifically Caitlin
Clark. I think even though Zach Edey is a thing to see and Klingon's a giant dude, there's a foregone conclusion about that game.
You ever seen Zach Edey before?
I've seen
a Zach Edey-like player.
Yes, you have, you've seen that. Big, strong tall
guy. Klingon, you ever seen a guy like that?
Yes. And you have a superstar on the other side. The storylines help. Caitlin Clark's a superstar. She was in the final last year.
Against an undefeated team.
And you got an undefeated team on the other side, and you have a recognizable at least head coach and Dawn Staley. All those things played a part. But, of course, Clark being a star and the way she plays, the men really had no chance. I mean, no one was excited about UConn-Purdue. You watched it because we're sports fans, but no one was excited about it.
Do you acknowledge how huge that is?
I'm not saying it's not.
I'm not saying it may never happen again, but for this to happen, there's got to be people. I never thought in my lifetime, well, this year I already thought that it would beat the men's, but this is an enormous potential step for women's college basketball.
Let's see the enormous step back for next year.
There's going to be a step back, but Paige Beckers is a four-year player, for example.
Yep.
Yeah, but
Caitlin Clark is a four-year player.
She hasn't captured America's
heart like Caitlin Clark did. No, that's true. But the women that you saw that can really ball, they're there for 4 years.
And Juju Watkins is
there for 4 years. Like,
yeah, Juju might carry it.
Who gets you the most excited about men's basketball in the future, men's college basketball? Is there anyone that really gets you excited, John?
No, I think men's college basketball is more about teams.
It's the school. It's the name on the front.
And the problem is your best players leave early.
Yeah. Well, that's are they still? I mean, are they still?
Yeah, the best players still do.
Well
I mean, the NBA caliber players do. If they're a lottery pick, they leave.
Yeah, but more guys are staying now. In college football and in college basketball.
Not the top players, though. Top players don't typically stay. Like Cryer should be staying, if that were the case.
He is staying.
No, that's right. Cryer's staying, but Shedd is, I guess, not.
He hasn't made an announcement yet. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
God, I hope he comes back. It'd be smart to come back. Get some of Caitlin Clark money.
You want to bet on it? You want to bet on where he's drafted? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. That's where you can find it. You can find it all, everything that you want to bet. How about casino gambling where you got a live dealer? You got that at MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Instead of just, here's the computer spitting out my cards. Here's the computer spitting out the roulette wheel ball. I like it better seeing right there in front of me the dealer, and you get that at MyBookie. I like the website, period. The website is great. It's easy to navigate, and everything you could want to bet, it's right there for you. So simple, so easy. Because if they scare you, if these websites scare you with the betting or whatever, easy to put your money in, easy to get your money out, easy to get your bonus by putting in promo code BET975. All of that happening every day. Your initial deposit, they're going to give you 50% bonus on what you put in. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag and put in promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's a Republican who suggests thousands of seniors shouldn't be voting. Do you think seniors shouldn't be allowed to vote in this country?
Ooh, I think a Republican telling seniors not to vote is going to get kicked off the team. That doesn't sound like the smartest move.
Well, I think he meant he doesn't think Joe Biden should be able to vote.
Well, I think he needs to change the way he says seniors are overwhelmingly on his side. Does he know how old the leader
of his party is?
Yeah, well, is he aware? Isn't the age thing a lot more of an issue for Biden?
But if he doesn't want seniors to vote, then the leader of his party can't vote
not
either.
Not allowing seniors to vote is not a good thing.
Yeah, not
restricting the vote is not smart.
Not for a certain party, it isn't.
Okay, so here's what he said. We had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated where you had 100% voting in nursing homes. If you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 months life expectancy. Okay? Almost no one in nursing home is in a point to vote. And you had children, adult children saying, who voted for my 85 or 90-year-old father and mother? Okay, so I think he's just anti-nursing home because, well, you're not going to make it through this entire
Four years. So
yeah,
you're voting for something that won't really affect you, is what he's saying.
Yes, right. You shouldn't be allowed to vote.
I would tell him that that's the wrong path to take. You should take all those votes, Republican representative.
Billy D. Williams says actors should be allowed to wear blackface. Do you guys think
Billy D. Williams is alive?
Billy D. Williams said that.
Yes, I thought Billy D. Williams died.
No, he's alive.
If you're an actor, you should do anything you want to do, okay?
You can. The question is, will you be allowed to do anything after that?
So, apparently, Laurence Olivier was in blackface. He thought the performance of in the film Othello. When he did Othello, I fell out laughing. He stuck his ass out and walked around with his ass, you know, because black people... Oh, my God. Never mind.
I love when John just reads headlines.
Okay.
Can't read this.
Billy D. almost got you in trouble.
Billy D. almost got me in
trouble.
This
is Billy D.'s ultimate get back against John. He's like, I'll teach John a lesson.
Tennessee Senate passed that bill. Remember that bill that would arm public school teachers?
Yeah.
Guess what? Passed. Congratulations, Tennessee. That's going to all end well, isn't it? Tennessee, if you're a public school teacher, you can pack now. What do you guys think?
I just think...
Are these the same teachers who decide on, hey, we need to show the impact of slavery so we make all the white kids the slave owners and the black kids the slaves?
Yeah,
is that the level that we're talking about here?
I can't believe that
we still have schools
that continue to think they're going to, like, that's going to be the move.
Because if that's the level of intellect we're dealing with, I'm not happy with this particular decision. Can't trust them.
Can't trust them. You just can't. You just can't.
You're not bright enough to know that'll get you in trouble. But you're going to be bright enough.
But you're going to have a gun.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Oh, here's a nice story, Del. I'm not even doing this one. I'm not doing that.
You can't. These are two stories he's backed out of already.
Yeah. We're done. That's all. I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah, we're done. We got to go.
What has happened?
Got to go.
You're showing discretion?
I did.
He backed out of two stories. He's like, okay.
I got a long drive home today from Dallas, so I just don't want to regret the whole drive.
And what happens if the eclipse comes back and you can't see while you're driving? So there's that concern, too.
Exactly. What if we get a surprise eclipse out of nowhere?
That's the concern that people have right now.
Yeah. Did you see the number of eyes the doctors have had to see because people think they've got... Their eyes have problems now since the eclipse.
All you had to do was just hold your hand up and make a tiny little crack between your fingers and just look through that way like I did. That's nature sunglasses.
Yeah. All right, we're done. What about Houston? Is my man here? Houston. You got to make the call. Well, I got Houston to talk. I need Houston on here because we're talking about TPC. TPC Industrial. That's where you get your PVF hose and fitting on, okay? You need pipes, valves, fittings, flanges, forged steel couplings, hoses. Make all of this stuff, okay? Houston and Archie have been in business, and they do a hell of a job. They got thousands of pieces in stock ready for you at TPC Industrial. If you have any issue with getting your whatever equipment that you need for your site, TPC Industrial is here for you. They are really, really, really good at this. And Houston's joining us right now, as a matter of fact. What up, Houston?
What's up, Johnny G? How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Well, tell the people what you're doing.
Man, we've just started pushing out more and more inventory, bringing in more and more inventory and pushing out more to job sites, man. We've got four different projects going on in Mont Belvieu right now, about six in Baytown, and all across the Ship Channel. So we're really hitting home with what we're doing right now.
But it doesn't matter where you are, right? If you can hear us, you can get it to them, right?
Yeah, even if you can hear you on a satellite radio or listen to your podcast, we can get it to you.
How about that? Doesn't matter where you are, people. And listen, you guys got stuff that other companies, if you're short on it, right, you got, in a lot of instances, you got it in stock, and if not, you'll find it for them.
Definitely, man. We deal with a lot of other, I say competitors, they're actually friends of ours in the industry. We all work together. So if they don't have it, give us a call. We don't mind working with you and working with your customer as well.
TPCINDL.com. TPCINDL.com or call them at 346-226-3866. So all of you guys out there in this industry that need something, it's TPC Industrial. Thanks, Houston.
Thanks, Johnny.
ESPN 97.5.
Bye, bitch.